But there's one video online this week. I don't know if you guys saw it. In Haiti, there's maybe 25 gangs, gang members. 25 gang members storm into a church, burning the church, breaking windows. We have received news from our network in the Ukraine. Some of the pastors had to go to war. A lot of their church members died. We don't really hear much in the news about Ukraine. And the presumption right now is they think Ukraine is doing good because we've invested billions of dollars into that war. But in reality, they're being crushed. There are many other believers, Christians, missionaries in the world suffering for their faith. So if you think you got it wrong, you got it bad, please rethink. Count the price you will pay to serve Jesus. I'm going deeper. Anybody else going deeper with me? As for me and my wife, yeah, we're going deeper. Anybody else going deeper? My son is going deeper. Okay, Felix. Anybody else going deeper? Yeah, so that's a legit question. You know, because sometimes you might be surprised. People come to church and it's like they're here, but they're not really listening. It's like nothing's happening. But are you serious about following Jesus? Are you giving room? Do you want to go deeper? If you want to go deeper, let's go. You know, sometimes the idea of following Jesus is a good idea until you really let Jesus in and Jesus come in and he's like, well, you know what? Me and your junk cannot dwell together. In the past couple of years, I had some people who came to church here. It's like, oh man, you know, love at first sight. Love at first sight is always a good thing until you really get to know each other. I remember one person says, you know what? They were like, man, pastor, this is, I don't remember the service, but they said that there was a prayer that just touched them and they think, well, this is where God's leading them and all that stuff. I said, hey, this is God's church, okay? So you follow the Lord. So they start coming and stuff. And then I didn't see them it was Easter. Actually, it was last year, Easter. And we're getting ready for Easter. And the mother said to me, he's like, my daughter is an awesome singer. But then I've heard the daughter doesn't believe in God. But she wanted her daughter to sing over Easter. And I said, first of all, I mean, it's awesome. I'd love for her to sing over Easter. But I hate for anybody to come to church just to sing. I hate it for anybody to come to church just to do something, to be an artist. Nah, she got offended over that. I said, well, I don't want anybody to come to church to sing. Now, if she wants to join, absolutely. If she wants Jesus in, absolutely. When you open up and let Jesus in, he comes and shine his light in your darkness. You know, whatever you're carrying, it's really not bad. You have it well. And Jesus is with you. So close. So close. And I pray that you feel him so close to you. Hold him tight. The closer you get to God, the closer he'll get to you. See, last week I was talking from the book of 1 John. I talked a little bit on chapter 1. And there is one verse. As I continue with chapter 1 and chapter 2 this morning, there's one verse I want us to go back to. It's 1 John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn in there. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7, 5 to 7. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Maybe we might be able to put it on the screen. This is what it says in the Passion Translation. It says, "This is the life-giving message we heard him share. And it's stirring. It's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat this word to you. God is pure light. You never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness." So everything that's happening in the world, you know, killing, terrorists. I mean, you see, even in our culture, you see how people, they are so animate about saving the turtles. I got it right this time. Turtles, yes. If you weren't here last week, you miss out. Turtles, okay? I mean, now in our culture, there's a group of people, they're so animate about saving the turtles, but they don't care about the babies, the unborn babies. So the turtles has a right, but not that innocent child. God called us out of darkness. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light. Is it the Passion Translation I have up here? You can put that on there. God is pure light. If we claim that we share life with him but keep on walking. That's the word I like in the Passion Translation. It says the realm of darkness. You see, we live in this world but we can't be affected by the darkness that's all around us. See, the evil that's happening in the world. If you're remaining in God, it can't enter. I hear it all the time, right? You cannot prevent birds fly, but you can prevent a bird building a nest on your front porch. Right? Because at the middle of the night or whenever the birds started to bring their stuff to build a nest, you weren't noticing. But as soon as you notice a nest, what do? Yep, get a stick, get rid of it. I know some of you bird lovers know. You're like, oh, little birds. You know? Don't do that. Just let the nest build a nest in your porch. But you got the idea. You got the message. There is darkness all around us. Something that grieves me. We always talk about it. Each of us here, we have neighbors, right? You got neighbors. Thank God for my neighbors. I've got good neighbors. I love my neighbors. I'm very thankful for my neighbors. Because one of the concerns we had when we move into our community, I know I'm a good neighbor. I know when I live in a community, I am a good neighbor. I'm going to contribute for the well-being of the community. But I was kind of worried a little bit what kind of neighbor I would have. I'm very thankful the Lord gave me good neighbors. Some goes to church, some don't. Some confess as a believer, a follower of Jesus, some don't. Right away. But what grieves me is there are some I see. They say they're believers, but I look at their action, man. There's no light. There's no light. There's no sign of light. Does people you do life with, can they identify the light of Christ in your life? Or do they know Sunday morning you go to church? Sunday morning, this is church thing. That's something you do. You rude, mean. Let's just talk about those two. Mention those two things. Being rude and being mean. Oh, God's word. If we claim that we share the life with him, but keep walking in the realm of the darkness, we are fooling ourselves. I don't know you. God knows you. Jesus knows you. Let's not fool ourselves. Jesus is coming back. Jesus might come back for you. The end of life might end up two ways. Death comes or the trumpet sound. And in the twinkle of an eye, we'll all be changed. We'll be raptors. The rapture will happen. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, if we keep living, walking in the realm or in the pure light that surrounds who? Jesus. We share unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. See, verse 7 here tells us every believer have fellowship with each other when they have fellowship with God. Remember, I talked about that last week. I'm not going to go deeper on that again. Every believer who are in fellowship with Jesus will love the fellowship of the brothers. Jesus said, the word says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. See, when you see somebody start running away from the assembly of the saints, you know what's happening to them? They're not in fellowship with God. It's not judgment, it's the word. When you are growing in fellowship with Jesus, with the light, guess what's going to happen? You're going to want to gravitate towards the fellowship. If you want to run away from the fellowship, you know what's happening to you? You are running away from the fellowship with God. That's what it says here. When we are in fellowship with one another, when we are in fellowship with God, we automatically want to be in fellowship with one another. Oh, it's good stuff. People cannot say they are in community or communion with God if they refuse to fellowship with other people. Now, believe me, if it wasn't for the love of God, I would hate people too, because people are messed up. People abuse you, right? Anybody has experience? You don't have to lift up your hands, but we all have experience. You trust somebody and they betray you. You are helping someone and then they turn around and they are just taking advantage of you. That hurts you. You know, I see people, there's a shirt, I can't remember who had that shirt. It says, I used to love people, but people ruined it. I used to love people, but people ruined it. But I would add, thank God for the blood. Amen. I would add, if it wasn't for the blood, you know what? I would hate people too. If it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, man, I would be so bitter. Let me tell you a story. Recently, I went to visit my dad. You guys know my story between me and my dad. But I feel like I have a heart to get my family to, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. I know how it is when a family love each other. I know how it is when a family understand each other, even if we not agree, but we understand we're family, so therefore we're going to be there for each other. We're going to love each other. I know how that is. So I've got 4 siblings, 2 brothers and 2 sisters, you know, and I always, my mom and dad, my dad left when I was 17 or 18, something like that. So we suffered a lot because my dad was the bread maker. My mom was the homemaker, and thank God for families and faith. All of us were going in private school. So when my dad left, man, I tell you, life went upside down. We suffered. And my youngest siblings, they were like 6 and 5. You know, I become the father. Me and my other brother, we kind of become the father. We help my mom. So here we are, we growing up. So my dad left. We suffered. So of course, from a child... perspective, you're going to blame your father. And on top of it, my mom and my dad, they had bad relationships. So my dad was never around to defend himself. So my mom would always tell us stories about my dad. And my dad, he did abuse us physically, emotionally. So, you know. So here we are, we grew up with hurt, pain, rejection, and bitterness. Lots of bitterness. I told you this already. There's one time, the first time I read in the Bible, in 1996, I'm reading Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, children, honor your mother and your father. I took a pen, I go over the word father, I said, not father, no father. Father is not part of that. So I made peace with that verse. I'm going to honor my mother, not father. I accept that verse, except, you know what? This father part is not for me. Because there's no way I'm going to honor my father. And I choose. I made a choice. But the deeper I grow in my walk with the Lord, the closer I get to the Holy Spirit, the closer I'm realizing, man, I have no choice. I got to forgive my father. If I need to experience the God's forgiveness, I got to forgive him. It took me years. But finally, the Lord delivered me. And recently, a couple years ago, my dad decided he's not going to be in Haiti. He's going to come to New York and live with his sisters. He had a visa. But then none of my siblings are talking to him. I'm the only open door because of the gospel. So I went up there. We, you know, talked to dad. He's like, well, would you please file for your dad? I said, sure. But then they're telling me all this lie he's telling. It boils my bitterness again. Thank God for the gospel. You see, until we see Jesus face to face, we will always have to deal with stuff. And you and I will always have the choice to choose to walk in the light or allow darkness to dwell in our hearts. Long story short, I was so mad. I'm like, you know what? Screw this guy. I'm not going to file for it. I came home. So his sisters called. You know, forgive your dad, whatever, whatever. But you know what's changed my heart? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit told me, actually Kendra, God used Kendra. God's like, I came home so mad, I'm telling Kendra, you know, this guy is such a loser, I'm done with him. And Kendra said, you know, judgment, this is no judgment yet. You know, because when someone hurts you, you want to hurt them back. That's judgment. I want to show you what you've done to me. I can get back at you. But this is no time for me to take revenge. This time for me right now is to extend forgiveness and allow God to do his work. Whether they change or not, but when I present myself before the Lord, I want to come free. And guess what? Did you know that bitterness caused heart attack? Stroke? And cancer. Bitterness. The root. The Bible says do not give room to the roots of bitterness. Forgive them. Let them go. Long story short. I'm shortening the story. So last week. January 1st. We talk. I've been delivered. Walking by faith. Once in a while I call my dad. Just checking on him. My dad hasn't changed. Sometimes I want to believe that he's changed. I filed for a residency for him. He's a resident of the USA now. Never say thanks. My dad is so prideful. He can't admit where he's wrong. I mean, he never said, Ricardo, you know, thank you for doing this for me. I'm sorry for everything, whatever. He kind of brushed around it. So I got the message. Sometimes I feel like he wants to come around, but he's so prideful, he can't do it. Me, I'm like, that's his problem, I'm moving forward. So January 1st, me and my brothers, we were talking. I said, guys, this is a great opportunity. I said, when was the last time you talked to your father? We don't talk to him. So of course, I'm ministering to them. I said, guys, this, you know my story. I'm the oldest, and we all have gone through this, and you guys are serving the Lord. You must do whatever it takes to forgive him and let him go in your heart. All right, so last week, a couple weeks ago, Kendra and I, we decided we're going to visit my brother up north. Just had a brand new baby. So then I'm talking to my dad. He's like, well, I'm going to swing in New York and check you out and visit for a little bit. My brother up there said, "Well, why don't you bring dad with you?" I was shocked. And I'm thinking, what an opportunity. The last time the three of us, dad and one of my brother, were together, I can't remember. And I'm thinking, what an opportunity. So, okay, got my swing by, pick up dad, and went to my brother's house. And my brother said, "You know what? This week, while we're together, I would like for us to seize an opportunity to really talk to dad. Just to talk, not condemning him, just to say, you know, dad, you know, tell us, why did you treat us?" Because every child wants answer. Why were you so hard on us? And we understand the past is the past. So we're sitting there and we're talking to him. Guys, the guy, you see, God resists the proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit to the Lord. Resist the devil, submit. But if you think, "Man, I'll never," God will resist you. And life will not smile at you. But when you surrender, what we sang earlier, "I surrender, I surrender, I want to know you, Lord. Because I want to know you, I surrender." To follow Jesus, to be in fellowship with Jesus, to walk in the light, you must surrender your own will. Wow! Your will. You know, some of us are strong-willed child. If not all of us, we have our heads on. Some of us, we are stubborn. We want our way. It's my way or no way. Some of us, that's how we are. You cannot experience the grace of God if you want to follow him according to your way. He says, not your way, his way. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, what they must do? Deny. Give your right. So here we are, we're talking to dad, and we're trying to explain to him. Man, it's just like the guy is hard. And we are graceful. We're like, "Dad, you know, we're just trying to help you with the others. Because two of my sisters and one of my brother, they're not talking to you." And we think, we know the problem. And we're like, the only thing you could do is just acknowledge what they're saying. Whether you think, well, I mean, of course, there's a justifier. I did this because your mother. I did this because of that. I did this. He's taking no responsibility. I said, "Well, Dad, won't you just call him and say, I am sorry." You see, until someone bend their knees to God, they'll never be able to bend knees to people. Until somebody, a heart, is able to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, they'll never be able to admit where they're wrong. Guys, I saw it for the first, I mean, again, I saw it. My dad is like, "I'll never." He said that with a rage. "I'll never ask for forgiveness." I pray for his soul. Right there, I was just like, I'm done. Maybe you're a parent here. We're talking about the light and fellowship with the Lord. Maybe you're a parent and your child think you mistreated them, or somebody think you misspoke. Because of your fellowship, because of your fellowship with God, because you're in the light, the best you can do is, "Would you please forgive me?" Don't justify anything. Yeah, you were right. You probably were right. But at the time, they didn't understand what you were trying to do. They got hurt. "Would you please forgive me?" I don't know if there are prideful people here. But maybe you need to hear this. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord." Once you were full of darkness, but now, what a statement. You're not in darkness anymore. You are full of light. So let people see the light. Come on, somebody. If you call yourself a child of the light, let people see the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. So live as people of light. For this light within you, what? What does it do? It produces only what is good, right, and truth. Wow! So now you'll understand. When you live in the light of Christ, you walk in the truth. When you live in the light of Christ, guess what? Some of us, we were liars. Man, I thank God for delivering me. I would be the worst liar. Man, sometimes I remember I used to be the worst liar. I would be telling a truth and I'd lie in it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's like I was possessed with the demon of lie. But I never knew. I thought, man, you know, I thought it's cool. You know, you talk and you lie. You never think about it. Until I met Jesus, and then I'm reading the Bible, I'm growing, I'm going deeper with the Lord, and then bing, because I'm reading the Bible, I'm like, man, I remember the first time I tell a lie, but my conscience, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit, is like, man, Ricardo, that's a lie. And then I started to be aware of the spirit of lies. Let me tell you, if you're dealing with the spirit of lies, confess it. Go find somebody. Come to me. Find Kendra. Find your cell leader. Confess your lie. Confess it. Whatever lie, whatever darkness you have in your life, confess it. You once were in darkness. Now you are in light, in the light of the Lord. And the light of the Lord produce in you what? Righteousness. Truth. Wow. It produces good stuff. Now you'll understand. A believer who's walking in the light, they would be a good citizen. It doesn't matter what your parents done. It doesn't matter what your sisters did, your brothers did, what your neighbors did. Because you are in the light, you will forgive them. And let God take judgment in His own hand. You take care of yourself. You take care of your heart. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. I like that. Carefully determine. That's why Bible study, home group studies is good. Reading the Bible, meditating on the Word is good. Carefully determine what pleases God. And then do it. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Like Halloween, like wild parties, like lots of many things. Take no part in them. Instead, expose them. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intention will expose them when light shines on them. You see, I told you, when I was in darkness, I grew up in church. But I was still a liar. I was in the worship team. I was a very liar. I mean, I was a bad liar. I baptized in water before I met Jesus. Because I baptized in water because I wanted to become the member of the church. It's not the fault of the church. But I was religious. I was a liar. The Holy Spirit set me free when He exposed my lies with His light. You see, when God shine His light in your darkness, He doesn't do it to bring condemnation. See, when you're under conviction, if you're feeling condemned, check that. Or talk to somebody else. Somebody that can help you. When God shine His light over your life, in your soul, you're going to feel under conviction. You might feel shameful, but you won't remain in shame. You're going to feel loved. You're going to feel God's embrace and acceptance. Oh, I like this. This is why it says, verse 9, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You know, when we read I know some of you, you've been reading the book of 1 John. When I read the entire Bible, I see the Bible stresses certainly on insurance of the Christian salvation. You don't have to answer, but there's a question for you. Are you saved? You don't have to answer. Think about it. Am I saved? And really think about it. Are you saved? If you die today, would you go to heaven? Are you a born-again Christian? Think about that. You know, the book of reading the book of 1 John. When I read the book of 1 John, man, I tell you, there's so much emphasis on what happened or what they call the qualification of a born again Christian. If you're a born again Christian, you read 1 John, 1 John should bear witness to your life, or you should feel, man, this book is just pointing fingers. See, when you read the Bible and you feel like the Bible is pointing fingers, just repent. Call someone, repent, confess your sins. Characteristics. I'm going to touch a couple of them this morning. The first characteristic is confession. I did talk about that over Christmas Eve. I remember that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. I was talking to Kendra the other day. There's a scenario in our family. One of the kids, one of my extended family. My brother's got a daughter. She's what? 7, 8, whatever. She went to school. And then between her and another kid, there was this discussion. The other kid was just like, there's no God. And the other kid was really mad, telling people, her friends, there's no God. I don't believe in God. There's no God. And then my brother's daughter says, yes, there is. Thank God for her. She didn't shrink back. How many times in your friends group, you know what they're talking about is wrong, but you don't have the boldness to stand to say, no, that lifestyle is wrong. What you just said right there is wrong. Now, I believe that's how you want to live your life. It's okay if you don't believe in God. One day, every time we'll confess, but let's not discuss that, okay? But as for me, you're not going to stand in my presence saying there is no God, because I know there is a God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowering us so we can bear witness to the Lord. So you know what happened. That little girl was so bold. The discussion ended up in the school principal's office. Yeah, because the kid that was saying there's no God set on her conviction. But my brother's daughter, she was set on her conviction. There's a God. The school wrote my brother saying, your daughter is not allowed to say there is a God in school. So now think with me for a minute. They have satanic club in one of our schools in town. But then the moment, God baptize your believers. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, baptize us with fire, with boldness. Man, we need boldness. You need boldness. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You need the fire of God. So you're not afraid of people. So you live every day, your life, you live every day, you live your life in the fear of God. You live your life in the fear of God. I tell you, people cannot do anything for you. They can't save you. They can't give you peace. And I bet they won't share their money with you. They might give you a donation. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit so you can stand bold. You stand bold. You know, you're not in people's face. You're not arrogant. You're not proud. You're very humble, but you know where you stand. You know what the Word of God says. You know Jesus is real. You know Jesus is the only way, the only truth. You know God created two genders, a male and a female. Period. Anybody wants to believe everything else? Anything else? Well, that's go for it. But that's the reality. You ask yourself, why didn't the school write? Against a satanic club. Why is it so hard to start a prayer meeting in a school? But it's not a bad deal to do voodoo in a school. You know, Haiti is the way it is because after 1804, the slaves, the only thing they knew was voodoo. So they killed the French, and their slogan was "Coupe tête boulekai," kill everybody, burn everything. You see, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom. Because I'm a believer, that doesn't mean I don't fight for my freedom. There is no way in the Bible God calls people to live on whatever relationship it is if there is abuse. Whatever the relationship, the moment you're being abused, it's time for you to remove yourself. The Spirit of God is a spirit of wisdom. So if those people, those slaves back in the days, they were serving God just like our country here, what did they say? In God we trust. So they adopted God's values. That's why America used to be called a Christian nation. That's why our Constitution, when you read the Constitution of the United States, it's biblically based. But other country, for instance, my birth country, it's kupit at bulekai. We kill each other. We kill, we burn. From 1804 till today. Because why? Satan does three things. Good. Kill, steal, and destroy. But the Son of Man, he came to give life. Life to its fullness. So whoever believes in Jesus, they will have no problem confessing Jesus is their Lord. And do you know right now, Jesus is not popular. Oh man, this church, we love Jesus here. I'm a man, I love Jesus. If there's anything I'd put in the back of my car, is I love Jesus. But be careful when you say that. How you drive. Because sometimes it might even be better and wiser to not put any fish sign in the back of your car. Yeah. It might even be better. Wisdom. You know, because you might be having a bad day and then they cut you off and you flip them up. But you don't remember that sign that says, I love Jesus in the back. You know, some of us, we're very bold. We even went to DMV to get a license plate that says, I love Jesus. Before you can have insurance of salvation, you have to believe and be saved. You have to confess Jesus as your Lord. You know, a lot of people, they assume because they grew up in church or they were coming to church, their parents brought them in church, they think they're a believer. Even for the kids here, teenagers, you got to make sure, are you saved? If you have a teenager at your house, you tell them, are you safe? Are you a believer? Because they're going to, I mean, you know, my son, he goes to school and he's facing the world. You know, we were talking about the other day. When you think about it, we are the one who are being sheltered now. Because we go to our jobs and we go to church. But our kids, they're out there in the world. What are they made of? Or do they go to school and the school brainwashed them because they had no foundation? So the sign of confession. And I'm going to challenge you, as you read the book of 1 John, you keep confessing Jesus as your Lord. And the best way you can do that, you let people know. I tell people all the time. I mean, the moment you start talking to me, you're going to understand I'm a Jesus freak. I love Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus. But one thing you will find out is Jesus brings freedom. See, when people associate Jesus with the law that says, don't do that, don't eat that. You know, like some of the people last year who told us we couldn't celebrate Christmas. They said, well, if you want Jesus in your midst, you can't celebrate Christmas. They said, Pastor, if you want Jesus, they told me that. If you want Jesus to bless your church, you need to get away from the spirit of Christmas. I said, oh, that's so sad. I said, Merry Christmas. Trying to live a good life is not enough either. You can't live a good life and expect a good life will take you to heaven. You must confess Jesus as your Lord. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners, separated from God by a sinful nature. Man, we need God. I need God. We can never earn, buy, or clean, or does any. There's nothing we can do for salvation. I said it here, I'm going to repeat it again. Once someone dies without the Lord, there's no prayer that can pray. You can pray to pray them. Purgatory. No, that's so dumb. You can't pray a dead person in heaven. Right now, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Lord of all. If you don't do this right now, and death comes, I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do. The other thing is the signs of change. Anyone who's in Christ, they're growing from glory to glory. You're growing from 1 John 2, verse 29, chapter 2. It says, everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. Should tweet that. Put that on WhatsApp. Put that on Instagram. Everyone who practices righteousness is born of God. When Jesus truly saves us, it makes us a different in how you think, in how you act. When Jesus comes in my heart, when Jesus comes into my heart, when Jesus comes in, and Jesus comes into your heart, guess what? He changes your mind. It says in Romans chapter 12, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Let the word of God renew your thoughts so you can discern what pleases God. You want to discern what pleases God? Or dwell in the word. Obey the word. When Jesus truly saves us, it makes a difference in how we think, act, speak, and conduct ourselves. When Jesus truly saves us, in other words, when you are a true born-again Christian, their behavior, their talk, everything they do will be in line with how Jesus does it. Oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to lead church like Jesus. I want to be a husband like Jesus. I want to be a friend like Jesus. You know, that same night last week when I was with my dad, when my dad said what he said, I was just like, man, I felt like my bitterness just got awake again. My mind says I hate this guy. But you know what my spirit said? It's like my mind said it, but my spirit was just like, you don't hate him anymore. You can't hate him. It's like there's that fight in me. It wasn't a fight. It was just like, well, I can't hate him. And then I said, guys, I'm going to bed. Then he stayed up and talked to my other brother. I went to bed. Next morning, I give him a gift. Give him a hug. You know, those people, when you hug them, it's like they're like a pool. Yeah. I said, you know how I am. I'm like, Dad, see you. And he's like, I said, God bless you, Dad. Yeah. 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 They can't receive. They're so bitter. They can't give hugs. They can't receive hugs. But I had a choice to wake up with bitterness. I had a choice to wake up with hatred. I choose. I didn't have to pray, oh, I cast you bitterness. No. I already knew. I can't hate him. I made a choice. See, that's what's nice in serving God in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. When you're religious, you think, well, God is up there waiting for you to fall. God is watching for you. You remember? That's how I grew up. I grew up with the mindset, you know, God doesn't mess around. He doesn't mess around.
But right now, when God sees me, he's looking at Jesus. That's why day is coming. The day is coming. The time is coming. The Bible says, who will be able to stand before the throne, before judgment? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all new things have come new. You know, as we learn to practice righteousness, our habits change. You know, writing this down, I was reminded of a message our brother Peter Okonte preached last year in January. It's on our website when he talks about habits. Good habits, bad habits. We've made of habits. You know, a lot of people are making New Year's resolution. Maybe this is a good time to check out your habits. But listen to this. As we begin to go deeper in the Lord, in practicing righteousness, our habits will change. Our habits will change. Go deeper. Your Friday night is prayer. I invite you to come. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. 7 o'clock. We come to pray. We come to seek the Lord. Make seeking the Lord a habit. Reading your Bible, make it a habit. Not only that, but obeying the word. Listen to what it says, chapter 2. Okay? And I'm going to finish with that. It says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but does not obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the beginning. The old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living in darkness and walking in darkness. Such person does not know the way to God, having been blinded by the darkness. I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in your faith because you have won the battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won the battle with the evil one. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. I'm going to stop here because next week I'm going to elaborate on that one. Go a little deeper with this. Do not love, but I'm going to read these verses. Do not love the world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see.
and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people craves. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We accept it. It is the truth that we need to do to live our lives. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just meditate on these words for a minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word, Father. It teaches us. It rebukes us. It equips us. Lord, we thank you that in you we find light, Holy Spirit. In you we find light. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to make myself available if any of you wants prayer. But yeah, may the Lord bless you today. May his favor rest upon you. Okay?